I'd imagine that it's safe to assume that you're interested in using technology effectively. I mean, this is the EdTech Club, after all. And when it comes to technology right now in education, you're probably thinking about big, revolutionary changes. You're probably thinking about learning management systems, about hybrid learning and blended learning and flipped learning and remote learning. And sometimes that's how technology interacts with what we do. And sometimes it interacts in more specific, more granular, more small-scale, evolutionary ways. Because even the simplest technological tools can help us expand what we're already doing to create effective learning. We can take what we have, our curriculum, our goals, and put that through the filter of certain tools that just expand our ability to do that, to teach. So this week in the club, we've invited a guest speaker to talk to us about a specific kind of tool that can be used to help students with different learning styles and help students with special needs, with accessibility needs. And that category of tools is text-to-speech tools. So imagine you've got a big block of text. Well, one way to interact with that would be to read it. Of course, not everyone can read. Not everyone can see words on a page. And not everyone benefits from just having the words on a page. So a simple tool like a text-to-speech reader can help you expand the ways you teach and create learning. And this week, TCEA's own Dr. Bruce Ellis is our guest speaker. He's here to talk to us about Podcastle, one example of a text-to-speech tool, and other similar tools that you can put to work in your classroom. If you need a PDF document read, for example, even if you have a document where you can't select the text on a computer, you still might be able to convert it to audio for your learners or even yourself. So we're exploring all those ways to teach and learn using text-to-speech tools this week in the EdTech Club. And it all starts right now. Hey everybody, welcome to the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rausch. This week we're doing a drill down on a type of tool, the text-to-speech tool. And I can think of no better guide than Dr. Bruce Ellis, Director of Professional Learning here at TCEA. Bruce has published a piece in our Tech Notes blog specifically about the Podcastle AI tool. But today he's going to take us through the world of text-to-speech and how we can use it in education. So that's enough for me. Let's turn it over to Dr. Ellis. It's something we've seen a lot over the years here and there in business and productivity kind of stuff, but obviously it has very real applications for learning.
Yeah. And, sometimes it can be kind of like, what's the flavor of the day? Text-to-speech can be real popular, and then all of a sudden it kind of fades to the background with new and different technologies. But it does seem like it's one of those that, with folks still going virtual and some coming back to class, there's this going back and forth, and learning can be disruptive at times. So it just seems like it's a good topic to kind of bring back up and say, hey, here's a tool that you might find helpful. And if hopefully it'll fit with some of your students, and it may even fit with some of your peers. So, share with them and make use of it.
Yeah. And so thinking about it right off the top, a text-to-speech tool is anything that can take a block of words and convert it into a spoken audio track, essentially, right?
Correct. Usually it's going to use machine learning or artificial intelligence, hopefully, so we get a little better sounding voices. Back in the day, this could be just 10, 15 years ago, everything was very robotic. There was very little inflection, if any. Voices have come a long way, and many of them, I guess, are still not enough to make you believe, oh, that's a person. But they definitely have come a long way, and it makes it much easier to listen to.
If I'm thinking about the use of this kind of a tool, then this goes further than just like a nice to have or putting the existing material in a new media, because that can actually have a big change for certain categories of students, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it fits so many different categories that it really, regardless of what you teach and what grade level, a text-to-speech tool can be a very good supportive tool, whether you use it as a teacher to support your students, or you share the tool out with your students and show them the tool and say, hey, if you need to make use of this, just another way of better managing their learning.
And I suppose it's useful for not only a student who may have trouble, for example, seeing or reading visually. That's an obvious accessibility connection right there. But it could help students as well who might just be able to pick up the material in this format more quickly or more thoroughly than they can with regular visual reading comprehension.
Yeah, and if a student has been diagnosed with certain special educational needs, they probably have access to more robust tools just through federal funds and state funds for special needs. But for a majority of our students, they don't have access to that. And some of that definitely would be overkill if they did. So really looking at what are some free open source text-to-speech tools that can be used. We find that before COVID hit, one of the big things about text-to-speech was that you have students in rural areas. They may be on a bus for 45 minutes to an hour and a half to and from school, and it may be a very unique and potentially great way of helping them consume some of the content. So when they get home or they get to school, they can actually start doing stuff with it. So it's kind of makes use of that commute time. Before COVID, my commute to the office was about 45 minutes, and I enjoyed listening to audiobooks. If I had a blog post that I was going, like, I really want to read this, but it just stayed on my to-do list too long. And it was either move on and forget about it or say, no, I really do want to listen to this. This is a valuable post. Then I would use a text-to-speech tool and save it on my phone, the MP3 file on my phone. And then I could listen to it while I was in the truck driving to and from work or going to the grocery store or wherever I happen to be.
Yeah. And I think about, for example, a lot of visually impaired people have specific screen readers built for computers, and they can access email and do all sorts of things that sighted people can also do. This is a similar kind of an issue, though, because, as you say, people with a profound or recognized disability might have access to a very specific tool for them. People with broader needs, perhaps, still might need some supports and tools that go beyond just one format.
Yeah, and some of the tools, and we'll put them in a show note, the different resources. Some will just read it to you live, and that's perfect. You got a web page that you want read aloud. Hey, here's a tool to do that. Some will allow you to save it as an MP3. So you can listen to it as on the go. A teacher can put it on a Google site or Google Classroom or within a Microsoft OneNote, different ways that it could be shared out. Or it may just be that you say, I have the I have the text, but it's hard copy text. It's not digital. And so we can also talk about, you know, how can we convert that to audio? What might be the easiest way without hiring a voiceover to do that for us?
Right, a transcriptionist plus someone to record it and send someone to master that recording and then export it and then get you the MP3. We've got some of that automated now. I guess the starting place for these tools, as you mentioned, is kind of the basic things that are going to be like screen readers, essentially. They'll just pick up all the words on a page and convert it to audio, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I came across Podcastle fairly recently. The nice thing about Podcastle, it's going to read the page to you if you want that, but it will also make available to you an MP3 file that you can download. If you find that you don't really have a place to put an MP3 file or you don't have a place to post one, they do have it where you can share out a link. And that link will go to their engine that's going to read that page to you online. So it kind of hosts the file, so to speak, in the cloud for you. So if I'm a student on the go, you know, I can use it right here, right now, while I'm sitting here. If I have a MP3 player, iPod, iPhone, Android phone, or whatever, I will listen to it. I can download as an MP3. If I'm a teacher and trying to differentiate for a wider variety of devices my student have, I may just share out the link. And if they want to listen to it online, they can. If they want to go to that link and then download it, they can do that as well. And it also allows the parents to say, you know, what are you doing? I don't know how to support you, so I need to listen. So if it happens to be instruction on how to do a certain math problem, or if it's talking about something in social studies, the parent may not be aware of. So it can be a way that the parent can also listen to and then better support their child, you know, if their child has questions on, I didn't really understand, you know, what the skirmish was about, or I don't really understand why this person was instrumental in the win, you know, in this skirmish of the, you know, Texas Capitol or whatever it happens to be.
One aspect I want to think about is what you mentioned. So if I have like a old PDF or a PDF of a photocopy or some other text that isn't the kind of selectable on a page digital text we see on websites, are there tools for that as well?
There are tools. Now, some of those tools, the ones I've come across have been paid for, paid tools, which was, you know, that's wasn't as exciting, a little bit more than my $0 budget, but kind of some workarounds with that would be that you can take within the PDF, if you can export the text, you know, grabbing it like that. If the text is selectable in the PDF, then highlighting it and copying and paste it over to another tool. Even if that tool happens to be Microsoft Word and then having Word read to you, it's kind of taking, you know, what do I have access to? What tools do I already have? And then how can I make use of some features in those tools? Now, of course, if you can install Chrome extensions or software on your PC or Mac, it does give you more flexibility. But even if all you have is Microsoft Word, you know, then you can definitely take a PDF, copy and paste it into Microsoft Word and have it read to you.
Right. And most word processing tools now at this point have something like this, some kind of text to speech in them, and most web browsers as well.
Yeah. And the word processor, you know, Word and Google Docs, voice typing. So you can do speech to text. And then, like I said, with Word, it's going to do text to speech and read to you. One of the neat features that is in Microsoft's tool, Immersive Reader, And that tool they've made available to developers. So, you know, Flipgrid, of course, it was their first tool, I believe, that actually highlighted it to the masses. The neat thing about Immersive Reader is that not only is it going to speak the words to you, but it's going to highlight the text as it reads it. So it offers a couple of different layers of support. You know, if you just want it read, you can choose like many of the text-to-speech, you can choose the hopefully more than one voice. So whether you prefer a male or a female voice, how fast do you want it read back to you? And then some students find that, oh, I like this voice, but if it was just a little bit higher pitch or lower pitch, it would be a little bit easier to listen to. It wouldn't be quite so noticeable that it's a machine reading to me.
Yeah, I like that aspect of having the kind of follow the bouncing ball where it can highlight the words as well. Seems like that would be really good visual reinforcement as well.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're a teacher and you're working with young kids, either pre-emergent readers or really any kids you have that are just not reading on grade level, you know, you can always use the immersive reader, drop your text in it, have it read the text. And if you're doing a screencast, not only are they, you know, they can watch the recording of it as it is being read aloud, and it as the teacher, if you need to stop it, pull out a question, a comprehension question, or hey, did you notice what was just said? Why did the author use this term, do you think? And kind of give some anticipatory set to what might be coming up soon.
You mentioned as well the potential to use some Chrome or some browser extensions for this kind of text-to-speech.
Yeah, there's Podcastle AI is a good one. And they have a Chrome extension. There's another one that folks might prefer. It's a new one to me. It's not one that I've used for a super long time, but it's called Speechify. And it is a free. It'll make a Chrome browser extension for you to use. And then as you go to a page, you just click on that extension. You do have a couple of voices. So for if your page is in English, you have, I think, 6 English voices that can read to you, 3 males, 3 females. You know, but then if you want to hear Australian read to you, you know, maybe a UK English or British English, a different version of English, so to speak, you can always select those voices with the language feature. Now, a lot of times I get people to ask me questions such as, oh, will it translate for me? You know, there's a Spanish voice or there's a, you know, French voice. And no, typically, now the exception to the rule is that Immersive Reader will translate your text and then it will read it for you. But the typical text to speech, it's going to be, say, for example, if I chose Spanish, it would be as if I had a very strong Spanish accent reading English. So it's not going to translate. It's just going to sound like a person with that native home language is reading English to you.
Right. It's still reading the English, but it's reading it with a Spanish accent.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I would definitely take a look at Speechify. There's a story on their webpage of the gentleman who that founded it. And he is a college student who had some reading struggles with dyslexia. And he was trying to figure out a tool that could help him. And so it has a good story behind it. And sometimes the story can be as capturing as what the tool itself does. And so, you know, where you might have some students or even parents who say, no, I don't want my children to use that because that's a crutch. You know, he really puts it in terms of, hey, you know, I was a busy college student. I had some struggles and I had to figure out how do I get through this? I'm no longer in high school or elementary school where I have as many supports. I've got to figure this out myself. And so it's a really interesting story on Speechify.
Yeah. And, you know, as you say, a lot of times one concrete example of how a tool is used, or in this case, how a tool is developed, can really ignite your thinking about something and make you see how it can be used in a way that if you just looked at the tool, you might not. If you had never seen a hammer before and you looked at it, you might have a few different guesses as to what it can do.
Correct. Correct. So I would recommend Speechify. There's a couple other tools. Let's see if I have them loaded. I think I took them out of my Chrome extension just because I had so many that I was going like, I need to whittle this down. Let's see. I have Read Aloud is a text-to-speech voice reader. It's pretty good. We can put that in the show notes. The nice thing about Read Aloud is that you can highlight the text on the page, on the web page, and you can right click and it will read just that section. So if you just need a word spoken or you need a paragraph, you don't want the whole page read to you. It's a great tool. Now it will read the whole page to you if you want that, if you don't select anything, but it does kind of give you that option. Do you want it just this short excerpt? Same thing with another Chrome extension called Speakit. Another great text-to-speech tool. Again, it's not fancy. It's not how you would teach your kids to speak correctly because it's going to be a little robotic. But in a pinch, it definitely makes it easier for kids to get through some of the vocabulary. I know even when I was in the classroom, I would have students, if I told them what the word was, they would say, "Oh, I know that word," but just looking at it, you know, it's not clicking and they're going like, "I don't think I know that word," you know? And so the spoken vocabulary is typically larger, wider than the reading vocabulary. So if we can have it spoken to them, it's definitely going to boost their comprehension.
As someone who reads, writes, and speaks professionally, I can assure you that the way words look rarely match how they're spoken in English. So I sympathize with your students on that one.
Yes.
It sounds like there's a pretty good world of tools out there.
There are. And you know, if for those teachers who just say, that's great if I have it on a web page, but what if I don't have it on a web page? Then you can kind of do the hokey pokey and make it happen. Just kind of a quick step process to go through that would be take a photo of the page. And if you put that page, add it to your Google Keep as a note, Google Keep will then extract the text from the photo for you. You can then take that text, either put it in a Google site, so it happens to be on a web page, or you could put it in Microsoft Word and have it read aloud. You can put it in Immersive Reader. So you can still get around to the end goal. You may just have to take another side step or two. And, you know, worst case scenario, it may just be that you go to a tool such as Online Voice Recorder and you read aloud, or you have a parent read some text for your students, or you have a friend who, they've offered to help however they could, and you just say, "Hey, would you mind reading one chapter of, you know, this book for us?" And they, you know, so your students can enjoy that and still listen to it on the go. And the nice thing, they can listen to it multiple times, where I know when we would be in class, you know, there comes a point where you just say, "All right, we got to line up. The bell's about to ring," or, you know, we don't have any more time. The next class is about to come in. But when it's audio, you can just listen to it again and again as needed.
Hey, you don't have to tell me. That's what we're all about here in the EdTech Club.
That's right. Yeah, you know, if you have the ability to download software, and one of the show notes we'll have a whole list of text-to-speech on one of the sites we'll share. One of the ones I downloaded to my PC was called Balabolka. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But it installs on the PC. You drop your text in it. It looks like a very unfun word processor, no frills. But you can then save that as an MP3 file, a WAV file. You can save it in a variety of different formats. So for me, as I was looking at it, now, you know, I was going to say, okay, let me just save it as an MP3 file. There was only two voices that I saw for English, so it's not as robust as some of the online tools, but it does give you the option of running from your computer. You don't have to have the internet access. You don't have to save it up in a cloud. You can, you know, download it, and then if you put it in your recording into a Google Slides or a PowerPoint or a web page or a Wakelet, you know, wherever you put it, you can put that audio file so your students can listen to it.
It seems like there's a way to do it no matter the scenario. I think there's no excuse if you want to have audio versions of your texts.
That's right. Some speech engines, if people have noticed, have used text-to-speech before, they have probably noticed that some speech engines, the voices are nicer. They're easier to listen to. They're kind of more personable. They almost have a personality to them, while others are more of the, to me, I always say 1990s voices, which it was before the 2000s, so it would have been 1990s, but very robotic, very expressionless, you know, really didn't stop for punctuation, just kind of bulldozed through it.
I'm imagining the AOL You've Got Mail guy.
You've got mail.
Yeah. You know, there's still those that are out there, but they've come a long way.
Well, excellent. I'm excited we get to share them with folks, and I appreciate you taking us through it.
Yeah. And hey, Andrew, if people have some text-to-speech tools that they know about that we didn't mention or that don't happen to appear in our show notes, what's the best way that they could share that back with us?
One easy way would be to shoot us a quick email, send us a link at podcast@tcea.org.
That would be great. And we can add it to the show notes. And who knows? It may be the tool that changes a kid's life just by their sending a simple email and sharing a tool that they used or have heard about.
Well, it's just like Dr. Ellis said, sometimes people are lining up at the door and the bell is going to ring and there's nothing you can do about it. And this is one of those times we are running out of time for this meeting of the EdTech Club. But don't forget that advice to reach out to us at podcast@tcea.org. Suggest ideas, guests, topics, or just give us some feedback. And if you want to give us some more feedback that really helps us out, go ahead and rate and review the show if you can. And of course, spread the news. Get your friends and loved ones and heck, even your enemies subscribed to the podcast. I bet everybody will enjoy it. And these days, you're probably pretty busy keeping up with the latest in education and the world at large. Well, one good way to do that is to keep up with TCEA on social media. Just look for TCEA on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Pinterest, and more. And of course, I can't let you go without a little bit of homework. Now, this week we have extensive show notes brought to you by Dr. Ellis. It's going to be really useful to help look around and figure out which of these tools you can put to use in your classroom. They're all pretty easy to use and pretty easy to get used to. So spend a few minutes going through those related readings in the show notes and see what you can do with these kinds of tools. course, we'll be back to talk about more tools, techniques, and big ideas again here in the EdTech Club, but that won't be until next week. So until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.